Good morning. It is a joy and privilege to be worshiping with you all this morning. My name is Amy Roof. I am a senior at Princeton Theological Seminary. I am also a child of this church. I grew up here, and it is such a privilege to be able to come back and worship with my home congregation today. The sea story I am going to share with you today comes from the book of Acts. It's the account of Paul being shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Now, this is a lengthy story, so allow me a moment to give you some context. Paul has been arrested. He will be sent to Rome to stand trial before the emperor, and he will ultimately be martyred by beheading. He is under the charge of a centurion named Julius, who has treated Paul very kindly. Now, the journey from Jerusalem to Rome began with the stormy weather that can accompany the winter months in the Mediterranean. Because there were no ships destined for Rome from Jerusalem, Paul and his company had to change ships in Asia. And while in Asia, Paul warned Julius that the weather was not favorable and that they should not continue to Rome. But Julius didn't listen to Paul. And why should he? Paul was a prisoner, and he certainly didn't know anything about the weather. He was a tent maker in his other life. So they set out from Myra in Asia to continue towards Rome, and they are met with utter disaster. So hear today's scripture, which comes to us from Acts chapter 27. When a moderate south wind began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose. So they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete. Since the ship was caught and could not be turned head on into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven. We were being pounded by the storm so violently that on the next day, they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest raged, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete, and thereby avoided this damage and loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we will have to run aground on some island." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to share some things with you this morning. Things close to my heart, things that I've carried for a long, long time. It's these boxes. They might not look like much on the surface, plain brown packaging and all, but these boxes and I, we've been through a lot together. They're a little heavier now than they were when I first picked them up. And you know, this morning, I'm wondering if all of you might carry boxes similar to mine. So just for a little while, I'm going to leave my boxes up on the screen. This first box, fear. A box that can be both a great defense mechanism and a terrible vice. A box I know very well because on more than one occasion, it's caused me quite a bit of trouble. This next box is with me everywhere I go. It's one I come by quite naturally, one that makes me temporarily lose my mind, one that I've had to learn to control. Anger. This next one is one that causes me to be unable to love my neighbor as I would like, and as God would like, for that matter. Pride. Pride is the box that gets me caught up in my own head. It makes me hesitant to trust others. It keeps me from asking for help when I need it most. people's stories. This may sound like a strange box to lay out here, but I carry people's stories with me everywhere I go. Every person I encounter both is and has a story, and their stories come with me, good and bad. Oh, and this last one. It's probably the box that I know best, or perhaps it's the box that knows me best. Worry. Sometimes I wonder what I would do with all of the free time I might have if I didn't waste it worrying. So do any of you carry boxes like these? Maybe yours are different shapes or sizes. Maybe some are heavier than others. Maybe yours are wrapped in bright, colorful packaging instead of plain brown paper. And they're not always negative things either, though those are what come most readily to my mind. Some of our boxes might be our relationships, or family, or our hopes and dreams. But we all have things that we carry, don't we? Everyday, invisible things, and sometimes not so invisible. We don't typically take time to think about the things that we carry, at least not until the weight of it begins to cause problems. And perhaps you're wondering where I'm going with these boxes. We'll revisit them in a little while, but let's turn back now to Paul's shipwreck story. This is quite the sea story that we get from Acts, and being a sailor myself, I love a good sea story. Where we pick up today's text, Paul is a prisoner on a ship destined for Rome, and he's caught up in a storm. Now, on the types of sailing vessels on which Paul was traveling, there were two options in such a storm: to stand before the wind head on, or to be driven by it. We're told in the scriptures that the crew was unable to turn the ship due to the wind, and so they scudded the ship before the wind. Scudding is often the less favorable option because you lose control of the ship. The anchor is dropped in an attempt to gain some control back, but it is very likely that Paul's vessel was taken drastically off course. And Paul's ship had no other option than to take this course of action. Think of it. Being out of control on the seas in a storm where you're at the mercy of God. It's difficult for us to wrap our heads around today. We don't often find ourselves out at sea in the middle of a hurricane. But we do sometimes get firsthand accounts of people who have weathered such storms as Hurricane Maria, Superstorm Sandy, Hurricane Harvey, and Hurricane Katrina. This is the closest that many of us will ever come to understanding the sheer terror that Paul and his companions must have faced. Luke goes on to tell us that the violence of the storm was so great that on the next day, the crew began to throw the cargo overboard. Why? Presumably, the ship was carrying not only fresh food and water for those on board, but also valuable goods to be traded once they reached port in Rome. Transporting these goods was the sailors' way of life. It's how they made their living. Their job was to transport people and goods, and if the cargo was lost, so too was their compensation. So it was not discarded lightly. There can be only one explanation for why the crew would have discarded the cargo. The hull of the ship was taking on too much water in the storm, and the cargo would have to be discarded lest the ship sink. A little over a year ago, we were given a vivid image of what it looks like when a ship's hull takes on too much water. When the USS Fitzgerald was struck in the Sagami Wan off the coast of Japan, water filled two berthing compartments within the first 90 seconds of impact. The ship listed for days as the crew heroically tried to seal the vessels and stop the flooding. For many days, it was uncertain as to whether the ship would make it to port in Yokosuka or if it would sink to the depths, taking with it the 300 souls on board. In Paul's day, there were no such sealing systems as are present on today's vessels. So the only option that the crew had was to lighten the ship by discarding the cargo. They kept enough food and water to survive, but got rid of everything else they could spare. And then they waited. They waited to see if this would be enough, or if all hope were to be lost. The morning came. It was now the third day of the storm. And discarding the cargo, it seems, was not enough. The ship was still being thrashed by wind and waves, and the hull was still taking on water. The crew was nearing hopelessness. The last option that they had to try and save the ship and thus their lives was to discard the tackle, which they threw overboard as well. The tackle, the rigging of the ship, the other stuff on the ship that makes the ship work. This too, they discarded. The situation was as bleak as it could be. It was as if the crew was giving up. With the rigging now overboard, even if the leak in the hull were stopped, it was very unlikely that they would be able to control the ship and reach their intended destination. In fact, it was near impossible. But I think that's the point. At this point in the voyage, reaching the intended destination was no longer the mission. Living to see tomorrow was. The last hope of the crew and passengers was that the storm would stop raging and they might be able to limp to the nearest land they could find, assuming that they actually could find it. Now, it's worth noting that most ships during this time did not sink during the storms themselves, but in the days that followed, for the very reasons that I've been explaining. A hull full of water. Discarding the tackle, hoping to survive to tomorrow, was therefore no guarantee of a future. But it was all they had to cling to. When I work with people in crisis, I often look for something in their stories that might keep them safe until tomorrow. I look for something to bring just a sliver of hope into their situations. Something very short-term, something they can grasp onto for now, until they can get the longer-term help that they need. Many times it's something simple like a pet who depends on them for their care. Times of crisis are not times for long-term planning. The brain actually cannot function in a way that more permanent plans can be made. The person in crisis can hardly imagine the next minute, let alone day, week, or month. So I hunt for little things, things like throwing the tackle overboard in the hopes of surviving to tomorrow. Whereas the crew focuses on the tangible things that they can do to survive, Paul offers an enduring word of comfort. They had been stuck in a storm at sea for about 2 weeks when Paul speaks. So discarding the tackle seems to have done the trick, at least for now. While there was still food on board, nobody had eaten anything for this 2 week period, whether for fear or seasickness or probably both, we don't know. But before Paul speaks, he takes bread, breaks it, and encourages the others to do the same. He then goes on to explain what an angel had told him about their fate. Paul, being destined for Rome, was to die a martyr's death. He was not to succumb to a shipwreck in the middle of the sea. The angel promised Paul that that was to be his end. But he did tell Paul that the ship would have to be destroyed. And yet, while the ship would be wrecked, not one of the 279 souls on board would be lost, so long as they ran the ship aground on the next island they came to. Paul believed what was told him by the angel, and the crew believed Paul. They were desperate for hope such as this. Aren't we all? You see, Paul trusted in his relationship with Jesus Christ, and it was Jesus who said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Just as the crew lightened the ship by casting off the cargo and the tackle and throwing them into the sea, Paul, taking on the yoke of Christ, lightened the spirits of the crew. Through the work accomplished by Christ on the cross, we are given the hope expressed in Isaiah 43. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." Each of us is like a ship. We each carry cargo of varying weights and sizes, boxes like the ones I've had on the screen. When our ship faces stormy seas, when it's in danger of sinking, when the hull is filling with water and the ship begins to list, we have two options. We can choose to hold on to our cargo, that valuable cargo that we both love and hate, that cargo that is so familiar to us, so comfortable, and we'll go down with our ship. Or we can lose the cargo, cast it off, throw it overboard, and lighten the load so that the ship can stay afloat. While we're at it, we might as well get rid of the tackle, which is also weighing us down, the stuff we would use to continue going in the direction we want, the direction we've planned, the stuff that gives us control of our own ship. It's not going to save us from the sinking of our ship if our hull fills with water. So cast it off. The only thing that will save us when our ship is sinking is lightening the load and yoking ourselves to Jesus. When we're loaded down with cargo, it can be difficult for us to do so. But Christ, whose body was broken to save ours, whose ship was wrecked so that we might be saved, is trustworthy. So when your ship starts sinking, when your ship starts sinking, think about the things you are carrying. Think about your cargo and decide, will I lose my cargo and take on the yoke of Christ? May it be so. Amen.